Okay, well, that was really awesome. I'd like for you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17 is where we're going to start. I think that sort of the takeaway from what we're going to be looking at this morning is that the greatest thing that we can do in this time, and really in any time, is to speak the gospel regarding Jesus Christ. And we're going to see this morning in this section, it's simple, and it's a section you're familiar with. But I just got so blessed looking at this again and just thinking about it. What God has done, His wisdom. It's so contrary to world wisdom, and that's what this section is going to deal with. That world wisdom as opposed to God's wisdom. The things that the world teaches, and as opposed to the information we get from God. And so I want to begin in verse 17, and hopefully we'll be able to get through this. I think we will. But there are just some wonderful, wonderful, simple truths. 1 Corinthians 1. Okay, we're going to pick it up here in verse 17. It says, "For Christ..." Now, you know, most of you guys understand the lead up to this. He's dealing with divisions and their carnality. I should say, too, Corinth was a real crossroads for craziness. It was like New York and L.A. on steroids. Okay, with perfect weather. And so, every crazy thing you can imagine happened in Corinth. You name it. It was just a lot of stuff going on. So, that's what's being dealt with here. Or rather, that's the church that is being addressed here. That's the situation they're in. So, he's dealing with carnality. They had gotten caught up in flesh, as opposed to spirit. So the things that God is laying out, and it's so loving what he's laying out and how he fights for these things. And I tell you, when I read, I don't want to get too much here, but you read commentaries about Corinth. It's interesting because many of the commentaries talk about, how messed up the saints were, how screwed up they were, this, that. But I'll tell you, when you read 2 Corinthians, they heard the word. They changed. Isn't that something? There is a writing, and I can't remember where it is. I can't remember what it is off the top of my head. But it was around 120, 110 AD. And it was one of the church fathers or whatever. He was reproving the Corinthians again. But what he was reproving them for was doing the word. Yeah. Isn't that something? They stuck with it. For how long, I don't know. But it's really remarkable. And how God gets in and fights for these people. But anyway, with that in mind, I better shut up and start reading. It says, verse 17, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." Okay, to preach the gospel, and that's the gospel regarding our Lord Jesus Christ. Then it says, "Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." Literally, this would be translated wisdom of word. Okay. And what we're going to see in the context here, it's talking about world wisdom or the wisdom of men. Okay? That wisdom of word. This was an issue in Corinth. This was, and this comes up later in 1 Corinthians. What we're going to see here is that Paul was singularly focused on Christ. This was not a sales attempt by his ability in oration or to convince or to argue. He was going to preach Christ. See, and we're going to see that. We're going to see that. It's really awesome. Anyway, so lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect or become void. For the preaching of the cross, and the word for preaching here is the word logos, and it's literally for the word of the cross. For the word of the cross. Now, cross is being put here for Jesus Christ and his accomplishments and what was accomplished by his sacrifice. This word of the cross is the preaching of the gospel that we just read. Okay? So, the word of the cross is to them that are perishing foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Okay? And this perish and saved are in the present tense. It should read, are perishing and are being saved. Isn't that neat? There's your two categories. That's it. That's all there is. All men fall into one of these two categories today. Perishing or saved. See? And in Christ. Boy, it's that simple. 4, verse 19, it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. It's kind of neat. It reads, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise ones. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the understanding ones. See, that's how it reads. I want you to keep your finger here. I want to read this citation in Isaiah. You don't have to turn there. I can just read it. I promise to read what's written. Isaiah 29, and I'm going to pick it up in verse 13. It's pretty neat. The wisdom of men. Oh, the wisdom of men. Verse 13, Isaiah 29. Wherefore the Lord said, forasmuch as this people draw near me with their mouth, sound familiar? This verse? And with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart from me, and their fear or their reverence toward me is taught by the precepts of men, commandments of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their understanding ones, is how it would read. It says prudent man in King James, but of their understanding ones shall be hid. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who sees us? Who knows? Surely, your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he has no understanding? That's exactly what man does, isn't it? It's exactly what man does. You know, God says this, man says, That would be like a clay pot talking back. I wanted the handle here. No, you didn't. Yeah, I did. Don't talk back to me again. I'm not as gracious as God, I think. But anyway, let's go back. I want you to turn back to 1 Corinthians. So, this that God did, this wisdom of God. Then it says, verse 20, okay, well, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Isn't that something? This word world, and I'm going to point this out as we go, it's the word for, it's the word cosmos. It's translated from cosmos. In this section that we're looking at, there are two words that are translated world. Now, we spent some time with this some weeks back, if you remember. One of them is cosmos, one of them is aeon, or age. Okay? And this is going to come up. The understanding of the world here, and there's another place too, where that cosmos is put, it's put for the people of the world or their wisdom. Okay? But after that, verse 21, in the wisdom, well, I didn't finish reading that verse, did I? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Now, I have a note here that is actually aeon. And I don't know if I misspoke there. It's okay. It's going to come up later anyway. If I misspoke there, I apologize. Verse 21, for that in the wisdom of God, the world, by its wisdom, is the understanding of it, knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save or to deliver them who believe. Verse 22, for the Jews require a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. I'm gonna take that. Just a moment here. The world, by its wisdom combined, could not know God. But it's not just simply that God's wisdom is greater than the combined wisdom of the world. It's different. It's something that the world can't comprehend in its wisdom. Isaiah 55, my thoughts are right. See, it's right. And so what we're going to see here is that those who are not saved, those who have not believed on Jesus Christ, it's tough. But we'll deal with that in a few minutes. It's kind of neat. So God made foolish the wisdom of the world. For the Jews require a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ, what? Crucified. And I'm going to take a moment with that. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. See? We just read that the Jews require a sign. Greeks, wisdom. It's foolishness to them. Then we read, but we preach Christ crucified. Okay? Now that is the oxymorons of oxymorons to the Judean way of mind and to the Greek way of thinking. The Messiah, the deliverer, he will deliver the nation, lead Israel. Why, we'll settle for nothing less than the Exodus. He will reign over us. Crucified. The most despicable, despised, degrading way to die. Their Messiah killed like this, shamed. To the Greek, their God was reason, wisdom. This Judean, killed by the Romans, is the Savior? The thing is, it's true. That's right. You know, you think about the Apostle Paul, who is writing this. We preach Christ crucified. I'm sure that very thing enraged him at one time. Yeah? It's really something. It's just how God works, see? But to us who are saved, it's the what?
Power
of God. Isn't that awesome? Just preaching Christ. But unto them that are called both Judeans and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the what? The wisdom of God. See, and we're going to get this a little bit more. Christ is the wisdom of God. Christ is our wisdom. God pulled off an amazing feat in Christ. So big, we'll read, that had the prince of this age known, he wouldn't have crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. See? Don't attribute too much smarts to the devil's spirits or the devil's realm. Our God's a lot bigger. A lot smarter. And we'll see that in a few minutes. Because the foolishness, and this is irony, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. See? It's just irony. It's there's no foolishness with God. There's no weakness with God. But, you know, to help understand this, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound or to put to shame the wise. See? You know, and all of these things are according to the flesh. You see your calling, brethren, how that many wise men after the flesh, according to the flesh, the world's thinking. Not many mighty, according to the flesh. Not many noble, according to the flesh. God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound or put to shame the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound or put to shame the things which are mighty or the strong. Okay. Isn't that something? And base things, or literally it's lowborn. Lowborn of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are our. See? The things that are not noble, the things that are not mighty, the things that are not strong, to bring to nothing the things that are mighty according to the flesh, are strong according to the flesh. See? That's what God's done with his wisdom. It's just, it's remarkable. It's remarkable. I read this thing. I can't remember her name now, but she was royalty. And she was a friend of Wesley and Whitfield, I think. And she was royalty, part of English royalty. And she made this statement one time. She said, I'm going to make it to heaven by an M. Yeah, by an M. Okay. Right. And the person she said it to didn't get it. They said, well, whatever do you mean? And she said, not many mighty, not many noble. Had the M not been there, it would have said, not any noble. Isn't that something? I loved it. I loved it. Okay, no extra charge for that. I got a kick out. I thought it was awesome. Anyway, so to bring to nothing those things that appear that way in the flesh, that no flesh should boast in the presence of God. But of him, God, but from him, God, are you in Christ Jesus. It had nothing to do with you figuring it out. It has nothing to do with your wisdom, your strength, anything. It was solely because of God. Of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. He is made unto us the wisdom from God. Isn't that beautiful? This is God's wisdom. And we'll see it a little bit more as we read. But this is the wisdom of God. You know, when I read this, I think about Israel. if you do the law, this is your wisdom. You and I are in Christ. Isn't that something? This is wisdom given by God. It's just, it's that simple. Then it says, right, and righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. Isn't that great? I want, you know what? You can keep your finger here if you want to turn with me, but I want to read that one too, Jeremiah. That's out of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 9. Is it? Thank you. Verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty glory in his might. Let not the rich glory in his riches, but let him that glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? Let him that boasts, let him that glory, glory in the Lord. I'll tell you what, you know, you read this section. You know, we may not be looked on with great favor by the world, but we are highly favored by God. Highly favored by God. Chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or word, or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. So you see, this theme is going on. He's continuing. I didn't come with wisdom of words. I didn't come with man's wisdom, declaring unto you. This word testimony, there's two critical Greek texts and one older, or a couple older, few older manuscripts that have the word mysterion instead of the word martyrion. Martyrion is translated testimony or witness. Mysterion is mystery. In the context, especially when you get down to verse 7, it, that's likely correct, that it's mystery. So I came not with, you know, world wisdom proclaiming unto you the mystery. Okay, now we're going to consider that very briefly. For I determined, I made up my mind, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He was singularly focused on Christ. That's it. That's it. Now, it's a possible, I suppose, when he, you know, his first day there, all he shared was the crucifixion. I don't know. We know we share the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15. Anyway, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. For I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. This is a great verse. This is one of those other verses where you go to see what is said about it, other scholars, and they all say, you know, he was diseased, he was this. It's humility. It's humility. He's going into this hotbed, you know, New York, LA on steroids. Yeah. And Jesus Christ said, I got much people in this city. In fear and trembling, great humility. And he was singularly focused. I am just going to preach Christ. Christ. That's it. Isn't that beautiful? That's right. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech or my word and my preaching, it wasn't with enticing words of wisdom. Man's is, it's referring to man's or world wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. See, he was humble to God and he was walking by that nature, that Spirit nature, that life from God. that your believing should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or mature. Not the wisdom of this world, of this age, nor of the princes of this age that come to naught. They come to nothing. We're going to take a minute with this. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden, which God had ordained or determined or set before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world, this age, knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. It's amazing. Had they known this, there have always been two bodies of men, Judean, Gentile. The promises regarding the Messiah were to the Judean. Okay? And what was known was that when the Christ, the promised one, would come in glory, he would be a blessing to and a light to lighten the Gentiles. That was known. In Peter, it talks about how those prophets, they saw the suffering, they saw the glory, and what they looked for was that time in between. And what wasn't known was that from those two bodies of men, God would make available by grace for either one to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and become a new man. Mess up. See. And Jesus Christ will one day present that new man in one body, a new race of men. Starting over. Isn't that amazing? It's huge. It's huge. See what God has done. Oh, the wisdom of God. It's breathtaking. I want to take just a few minutes with this. I want you to keep your finger here, and I'm going to turn to a couple other scriptures regarding, the princes of this age. I have some of these scriptures written down. I know we're going to go to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, chapter 12. Regarding the prince of this age. Now, the word there for world is the word aeon in those verses that we just read. And in John chapter 12, in verse 31, it says, in verse 30, I think this was at the Feast of Tabernacles, if I remember right, but there was a voice from heaven. The people, verse 29, stood by, heard it. That it said it thundered, others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world, this cosmos. Now shall the prince of this world," it's the word cosmos, "be cast out." Okay? Now, the word cosmos, depending on its context, but its basic meaning is the order or arrangement of the world. Sometimes that word world is put for the people in the world. It's used in a couple of different ways, but its basic meaning is the order or the arrangement. The prince of that order or arrangement is about to get fired. That's right. Now I want you to turn to... John 14. Comes up again. Verse 30. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world comes and has nothing in me. Look at John 16. That word world is again cosmos. Look at John 16. And when he, talking about the Comforter in verse 8, I'm going to start in verse 8. And when he has come, he will reprove, or it will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go unto my Father. And ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world, of this cosmos, is changed. Is judged, rather. Is judged. He's going to be cast out, and the prince of this order or arrangement is judged. Isn't that something? Well, when Jesus Christ was raised, he was seated where? At the right hand of God, far above all principalities, all power, all might, all dominion, every name that is named, and we are in him. Do you understand that? There was a big change that took place when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And you and I have been delivered out from that exercise authority of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. Isn't that something? You know? Now in Ephesians, he's the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. The children of disobedience are those who reject the Christ. Now we just read in 1 Corinthians that he is the God of this age or this time. Of this time. See? Now it comes up again in 2 Corinthians 4. And well, let's just turn. We ought to read that one. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4 and then we'll wrap up. 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 3. If our gospel be hid, this gospel regarding Jesus Christ be hid, it is hid to them that are perishing. Our losses are perishing. In whom the God of this age has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. There has been a big change. This God of this age has been reduced to blinding hearts to prevent them from hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, but he can't stop it. He cannot stop it. See, isn't that something? You and I, we preach, we hold forth God's word, and the devil can't stop it. It's a great story. I don't normally do this, but it just blessed me. I've just been kind of keeping my finger on certain things going on in the Muslim world. Just in terms of the Word of God movement. Some pretty incredible stuff. I'm just going to tell you one story. Just for what it's worth. It was a boat full of immigrants that were coming from Syria. They had landed in Turkey, and it's a whole thing. It's smuggling, and it's a nasty business. But anyway, they fit like 30 people onto this raft. And they have to cross the Mediterranean and they get into Greece. And they try and time it to come in at night so the authorities don't catch them. But at night you have these Christians that wait on the beaches to speak the word. And, many don't believe, but boy, you'd be surprised at the number that do. Anyway, what happened was they were crossing, and the couple had a young girl, and she fell out of the boat. And they didn't realize it right away. But they noticed she was missing, and the mother, of course, started screaming and panicking and asking people to help find this girl. I'm going to start crying. Because stuff like this happens all the time. We don't know. You know, we just... It's amazing. Anyway. So she falls out of the boat, and they can't find her, And then she is now sitting at the other end of the raft. And, you know, her dad, what happened? She said, man, the man that walked on the water, he put me back in the boat. She said, what? There was a man. He walked on the water and he grabbed me and he put me back in the boat. She said it like 3 or 4 times. And so, you know, they just, whatever. Anyway, they get to shore. And there's this guy at the beach. And he invites whoever wants to come. He's got some food. Whoever wants to come. And he just, they sit down and he says, I'm gonna read some of the Bible to you. Some of God's Word. And for those of you who want to stay, you're more than welcome. And so there were a few people that stayed. And he started reading the record of Jesus Christ walking on the water. You can guess what happened. You know, the mom was like, who is this man that walks out of the water? He saved our daughter. They got born again. Isn't that something? Man, he can blind hearts, but God gets through it. And don't be afraid of that. I got to watch my language. I'm being recorded. But we're in Christ. See? Don't let the world get to you. We're in Christ. That's who we are. So, I'm going to finish. Lost my place. 1 Corinthians. All right. So, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. And this is a citation too from the Old Testament. And I think in the Old Testament it reads, they that wait upon him. See, isn't that something? But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. And what we're doing here is it's sort of a very similar theme to what we've been, but it's been, you know, the world versus God, and here it's going to be that information that comes from God, the Spirit of God, and as opposed to the spirit of man or the spirit of the world. See, that's something. For what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, not in words of human wisdom, but which the Spirit, is how it should read, teaches. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. See? Something. And that spirit is referring to God. In this verse, the word holy is not in any critical Greek text. So it's just the spirit. But the natural man receives not the things of the spirit. See? He's in that are perishing category. We need to get him into the being saved category. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can they know him, them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges or examines all things. Yet he himself is examined by no man. Man doesn't get the one who's born of God's Spirit, but the one born of God's Spirit gets the things of God. and really gets man. Because of that knowledge, because of that wisdom of God. Isn't that something? See, it's not fair, man. So, you know, these are things we want to keep in mind when we're working with people. And, you know, and maybe, you know, I don't know, it gets a little weird. Walk with Father. Just walk with the Father. You know, sometimes it's just level. Don't react. Isn't that something? How many times did Jesus Christ do that? You know, people ask him a question, he didn't even answer the question. He's But it's what God wanted to say. You know. For who has known the mind of the Lord, verse 16, that he may instruct him? But we have the what? The mind of Christ. And we have that by way of Spirit. Isn't that something? We can think like that. See, we can know these things. We can see things spiritually. All because of God's wisdom. Isn't that cool? So that's what I wanted to share from these chapters. All right? So I'm going to close with prayer.